This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're just tuning in, Pete Alonso met the media for the first time. You can rewind our program to a little bit after 2 o'clock here. What he had to say, Giancarlo Stanton is dealing with very painful tennis elbows in both elbows. His certainty for opening day is in question. And hey, Met fans, did you feel left out on the injury front? Well, a few hours ago, the news came down that new Met Frankie Montas, added during this offseason, is dealing with a lat issue. And that lat issue, according to Carlos Mendoza, will keep him out from 6 to 8 weeks. Looking back at previous lat issues, including Clark Schmidt, because that's the injury he had last year with the New York Yankees. Clark Schmidt ended up missing from the lat injury being diagnosed to him returning to the mound over 3 months. 3 months.
Wow.
I looked further at some other examples. Grayson Rodriguez with the Orioles when he was in the minor leagues. Same exact thing. He missed right around 3 months. Now, in Frankie's case, I think it's going to be more only because he hasn't built himself up. Like, he's starting from scratch. So once he's able to throw,
I got you.
He's got to build himself back
right,
up.
Right, so he's not extended to be a starter yet. So he's got to start from scratch 6 weeks from now.
Yeah.
And so we're not seeing him for, what, 2 months?
I think it's 3 months.
3 months.
Honestly, that would be my guess right now. My educated guess, just based on Schmidt, Rodriguez, the timetables. I think you're looking at 3 months. Now, today's February 17th. I'm not very good at math. So that's March 17th. That's 1 month.
Yeah.
April 17th is 2 months. May 17th is 3 months. Now, when you think about it that way,
right,
you say middle
seem
of
so
May.
Bad. It doesn't seem so bad.
It's not bad.
Because we have a month of spring trading. That's,
right.
That's why. So it's not really 3 months of the season. It's really about 2 months of the season.
Exactly. Clark Schmidt missed 3 months of the season.
Yes.
Now, one thing I've also learned about pitching injuries, we saw this last year with Kodai Senga. Was this the anniversary of Senga getting hurt? Like, is February 17th the new day where Mets get bad news about starting pitcher? Because it feels like the Senga thing went down at pretty much the same time. But remember what happened with Kodai? He had multiple setbacks.
Yep.
Then he finally comes back and gets hurt in the one start he made. So it's a dicey situation, and David Stern spoke the other day about how he loves the pitching depth, how he thinks the Mets have better pitching depth than they did last year. Well, okay, game on, because right now it's Griffin, Canning, and Tyler McGill. One of those two guys would enter the rotation. So the Mets could simply say, hey, we've got pitching depth. Let's go. Griffin, Canning, this is your moment. Tyler McGill, this is your moment. But they have another option. They've got two other options. One other option is a fictitious Morash-led trade in which the Mets could just trade for Marcus Stroman, which I will tell you right now I am not interested in.
Need for a need, fit for a fit.
I don't think the Mets need it as badly as maybe you would need it because I'm okay with Tyler McGill and I'm okay with Griffin Canning getting that opportunity for the first month or so of the year. Now, the problem is another guy gets hurt, you're going to continue to test your depth. But the other guy who I think makes perfect sense for the New York Mets is a guy who was here last year who is still unsigned. And, of course, I'm talking about Jose Quintana.
Oh, yeah.
Bring him home. He was unbelievable in September last year.
Well, don't you think that's likely going to happen? Just because it's familiar and it's easy and it's something that is not going to take too much of a lift to get done. And look, the question is whether Quintana wants to be a part of it. Like, he wants to come back. And I would imagine not having a job right now, he absolutely would want to come back.
Yeah, I think Quintana is the easy part. I think the difficult part is the Mets are going to pay a tax on whoever they sign at 110%.
Yeah.
Because they're in the Cohen tax. So if Jose Quintana, and you look at the market for starting pitchers, let's say he takes a one-year deal, that one-year deal is going to be for $15 million, if we're being honest.
Really?
Yes.
See, to me, that doesn't make sense. I know that the market dictates that, but he's unsigned right now. Don't you get him at a discount?
I don't know. I don't know if you do, because I think if you're Jose Quintana, first of all, the reason I come up with that number, and it could be more, is Justin Verlander, who looks absolutely cooked and is old.
But he's Justin Verlander, and he has a reputation and a history and a belief that maybe he'll return to form.
It's a naive thought. The guy's past 40. He's making $15 million this year.
Of course it's a naive thought.
Don't you think Jose Quintana deserves more money than Justin Verlander?
No.
He's younger. He's more reliable. He's coming off a very solid year.
But not as good.
He's better than Verlander right now.
Right now, but not historically as good.
I think there's a reason Quintana hasn't signed. I think the reason is he's not getting what he thinks he deserves. That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
And as spring training goes on, trust me, another team will lose a starter to an injury.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets aren't going to be the only ones. And I think that Quintana's probably thinking his market will grow. So if it was up to me, I'd sign Jose Quintana tomorrow. The guy was a good Met. He was a good Met when he pitched 2 years ago in that lost season. He missed the first half of the year. He comes out in the second half of the year. He's very good. Last year, he had some rocky moments early, but he was one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball in September. He pitched to an ERA under one.
Then why isn't he signed right now?
Again, I think he may be asking for more than what the market is giving him. But if I'm the Mets and Steve's willing to pay the bill, because that's a big factor here. I mean, everything costs 110% more. So if he made $15 million a year, how much is that really, Tiki?
That's 34, 33.
Yeah, they're not paying him $34 million.
No.
So I'd like him. I think he makes a lot of sense, but
I think
this comes down to money.
No, you're right. When you put it that way, it doesn't make any sense, unless you're getting them for 10.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
And I think that because Stearns believes in the pitching depth and believes in Griffin, Canning, and Tyler McGill, who are clearly the two options. I mean, that's what's happening. The Mets are carrying six starting pitchers. We already know Paul Blackburn is probably bumped up and is in the rotation.
Yep.
So it becomes down to Tyler McGill and Griffin Canning. And Starling Marte, I think, is still valuable to this team. I get why you, Sean, as a Yankee fan, want him. Like, there's your DH replacement for Giancarlo.
And not only that, once we get the Giancarlo coming back, you don't know with Judge and Stanton another injury this year.
And by the way, Marte's the same thing. Marte is a lighter version of Stanton in that you can't keep him healthy. So between the two of them, your thought is, I'll get through 162.
Exactly.
No, I get why you want him. I wouldn't give him up. I wouldn't give him up for a starting pitcher when, no offense to Marcus Stroman, I've got depth options right now, and I could also just sign a guy as a free agent, like I mentioned Jose Quintana. So I'm not interested in the trade.
And I can't believe, Sean, from a Yankee fan's perspective, you just saw a guy on the Mets here get hurt, a starting pitcher. What if you lose a starting pitcher and you trade Stroman, and now you're down
That's a great pitcher.
And now you're going to be reading a list with Lance Lynn on it.
Spot on. This is the reason why. You're right. This is the reason why, as a Yankee fan, pull the brakes on I got to trade Stroman. He's right.
But hold on.
Will Warren's your guy. We don't know if Will Warren's any good.
This is all I would say. To get through the season, I would rather have Starling Marte and a combination of Will Warren and JT Brubaker than I would Marcus Stroman with, I guess, Everson Parara and Ben Rice. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm doing that trade, I'm going to value what I'm getting from Marte back and trust those two guys to be my fifth starter to get me through a season.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Eric is in Lindenhurst. How are you, Eric?
What's going on, guys? How are you doing?
What's up?
Yeah. I just want to talk about, Giancarlo. I have such a love-hate relationship with this guy. Like, when he's on, you guys know, he's an awesome power hitter. He's one of the best power hitters in the game, but he's not on that often. But he gets hurt every single year, and this injury is 1,000% from lifting weights. I know from experience, because It's 100% from lifting weights. He lifts too heavy. You see the size of the guy. He looks like he should be.
We got to let you go because your phone's a little in and out, but you do bring up an interesting point that this is a lifting weights injury, right, Teague?
I mean, it feels like it is because, I mean, I know he's dealt with this his whole career, meaning the physicality and the pounding of iron that he does, but when you get to a certain age, your body just can't do it anymore.
Right.
As much as you want.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Two. You just can't do it the same. I know I can still lift, you know, 315. I can still bench press. Okay, but you probably shouldn't be doing that. It's not necessary to his job, I don't think. Now, maybe it's necessary for him and his mind, and I think it probably makes him feel strong and invincible, and that's a good thing. But at some point, you hit that diminishing returns level, and you have to just pull back and make it more about being healthy. He's got the skill to hit a baseball. We know this. And even though his swing is odd and it's deceptive, like when you look at it, it doesn't look like he should be crushing the ball the way that he does with the exit angle. But at the same time, he can do that even if he's 15 pounds lighter.
Giancarlo Stanton has now been a Yankee for 7 seasons, which is kind of crazy to think about. Time flies. He has had, in my opinion, a healthy season. And I think being healthy is 140 games. Mm-hmm. You play less than that, it's not really a healthy season. And he had 1 year where he played 139. I will call that a healthy season. I think we all should. He's only had 2 of the 7 in which he's been healthy. His first year here, in which he played 158 games, sounds foreign to think of Giancarlo playing a .158. In 2019, he literally missed every game except for 18. He missed half the abbreviated season of 2020. He gave you that full season in 2021 where he played 139. And then 2022, he played 110 games. That's basically missing 2 months. In 2023, he played 101 games. That's the equivalent of missing 2.5 months. And last year, he had that one real extended IL stint. He played 114 games. So our last caller's right. He's not reliable. The good news is there's one time a year where he's really, really reliable.
Right.
And that's October.
That's why the love hate. That's where the love hate comes from.
Of course.
Because you can hate him all season long, but when he gets to October, you know he's going to mash. He's going to be dialed in, and somehow he stays healthy.
It's incredible. Even in that year, 2019, that I talked about where he missed a bunch of the year, he played in the playoffs that year a little bit. I think he got hurt again, but he played at least a part of it. So when it matters the most, the postseason, right now, is there anybody on the New York Yankees or in the Yankees lineup you trust more in October than Giancarlo Stanton?
No, the answer is no.
Not even close.
Right, which is why we're okay with this. Just shut him down, but you better figure out a way to get there.
Maria is in Paramus, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Maria.
Hi, Evan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a big-time Met fan. I'm really happy about the Pete signing. Love him. He's my favorite player.
Mm-hmm.
I have something to say about the Stroman Marte trade.
Yes.
I don't think we trade across town. I don't think that's something Mets fans or Mets and Yankees do. I think that's perverse. I understand how
<You're> like, funny.
I know how it would work logistically, but I just don't think that it would be a good thing. I think that we should sign Quintana again, definitely.
Yes.
And I agree with you about how Marte could be useful for us, you know, this season, obviously, because he did hit a lot of home runs in the postseason.
Like we were talking about with Stanley, he was clutch in October. He was healthy in October when it mattered. Plus, I look at Marte this way. Right now, who's the Mets DH? It's probably Jesse Winker.
Yeah.
Jesse Winker's not facing left-handers. Starling Marte is. So even though he makes a lot of money for this role, Tiki, it's pretty important. He's the right-handed part of a DH platoon for the Mets.
Yeah, and there's moments where he still feels like he's a top-end player. Now, there was a ton of injuries a year ago, and so maybe that it really goes back two years. He's been banged up in some capacity or another. And so you wonder if that's just it for him, right? That's just what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You're not getting full seasons. You hope to get 100 games, but when he's there, you hope that he's great.
What we need to do, I'm doing it with Marte, I think Yankee fans have begun to do it with Stanton, is forget about their resumes and forget about their salaries and view them differently. Last year, right around this time, I just mentioned to you, you know what? Forget how much Giancarlo makes. You have to look at him as the right-handed platoon of a DH. Now, to Stanton's credit, he did better than that.
Of course.
He didn't have to be the right-handed platoon of a DH, but the numbers in 2023 indicated that that's maybe where he headed. The idea of just buying someone out to get rid of them, to me, that's like, it's just cheap blood. Like, well, okay, great. You got rid of a guy you don't like. Now what? Who are you replacing him with?
Yeah, that's the biggest issue with Stanton. You're not going to replace him.
That's why I've always been against this talk from Yankee fans of, oh, they got to buy off a salary and send them away. Why? He can help your team.
Mm-hmm.
Even last year, even if he's missing a bunch of time, he can help your team. I think that's what Met fans are with Marte in the final year of his deal. Yes, a right-handed platoon of a DH should not make $18 million a year. I agree, but what can you do? There's nothing you can do.
Right. The money's already kind of spent.
Yeah.
It's already accounted for. There's nothing you can do about it. And it's the same thing with when you think about Giancarlo Stanton. At this point in his career, I bet he would be okay being part of a platoon. I don't think he would.
Well,
even if he was, it's not ideal for him. I think he would do it because he knows once it comes to the postseason, he's going to get every opportunity to do exactly what he did this past postseason.
If you look at last year, and I got to look like almost that every game just to think about this, he never played basically more than 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
Like he would play 3-4 days and then take an off day. 3-4 days, then take an off day. Like,
which is fine.
Really, of course.
It worked for everybody because he got to the postseason healthy and then he was amazing.
The one thing I'll disagree with Maria about, she said that Met Yankee trades are perverse. I am game to make a Met Yankee trade if I like the trade for my side. I don't like the trade for my side
I think what she's alluding to, or at least suggesting, is that if one team gets fleeced, then it's perverse. Then one side is so pissed off.
But hold on.
That damages ever thinking about it ever again.
So
the only way it would work is if it's Matt Stafford, Jared Goff. That's right, only way it works.
But if you think about a Marte for Stroman trade, there's really no way it could be an unmitigated disaster. Like, what's going to happen? Marcus Stroman's going to win the Cy Young and Starling Marte is going to just not play? Like, is that really going to happen?
No,
and by the way, even if it did happen, Stroman's gone after 1 year.
You're getting somewhat marginalized players from their peaks.
Right.
And they're going to be valuable, like, cogs in the bigger picture.
And that's how Met Yankee trades in their histories have gone down. There have been low-level trades like Lee Guterman for Tim Burke or Armando Benitez for Jason Anderson or...
Or last year when they really helped the Mets.
What was that? What was the trade last year?
You guys got Torrens.
That wasn't a trade, though.
Yes, yeah, we gave the Yankees cash.
That's not a trade.
That's perverse. We got Steve Cohen's dirty money. You got to catch it a hit for you.
I can't count that as a trade.
What happens to that cash, by the way? Do they just like stick it in their pocket or does it go back into... Like, what happens to that?
I always wondered
that in baseball.
It went in the kitty for Bellinger.
Traded for cash. Okay, what the hell does that even mean? Like, with actual cash?
Would that offend you as a player, Teak, if you got traded for cash?
Yes, it would.
Like, come on, you couldn't get a human back?
Exactly. You traded for a gift card.
I know. But it's the same thing. Funny money.
Bob is in Freehold, New Jersey. How you doing, Bob?
How you doing? Couple things. First of all, I did have tennis elbow a while back, and believe it or not, I got it from a chainsaw for starting it.
Really?
The saw just went starting.
Is that when you pull the string, like you're pulling it really hard to get it going? I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Don't do it.
Trust me, I'm not.
Believe it or not, using a chainsaw is a lot harder than it appears to. The only way I got rid of it was just by rest, and it was a long rest.
Yeah.
Maybe at least a year.
Why don't they make chainsaws with like a start button?
I know, right? I don't understand.
Why is it? It's 2025.
Because it wouldn't
why are
look,
we still doing that?
It wouldn't look as impressive to your wife when you're out there starting.
Yeah. She's right, because I have a leaf blower, and all you have to do is just press a little tiny button, and it starts blowing. Wouldn't it be cooler if you had to like rip the string like really hard and then it starts blowing? So I think that's part of the reason.
So antiquated.
I know.
The chainsaws have to have different technology.
I don't know. I don't know. I still start the lawnmower like that. We have to pull the string.
Dude, really?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
And I feel great.
I've only used a chainsaw one time in my life.
What were you cutting?
When we bought our house, there was a playground in the back. It was all wood.
Yeah.
But it was just rotted and like disgusting. And so I was like, I just want to take this thing down. Tracy was like, you're going to do it yourself?
Yeah, you're a man.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
And I tried to just like knock it over, like kick it over. It didn't work. So I had to go to Home Depot. I rented a chainsaw and then came out and used it. It was awesome.
Look at you.
It was
goggles on there too?
Everything.
I love
it. The gloves.
God, the goggles are important, dude. Those little charges will come back into your eye.
Yeah.
I learned that because I cut my own lawn. Now, granted, I don't do it with the... pull it and push it.
Uh-huh.
I sit on a John Deere tractor. And when I use the John Deere tractor,
it's like a Zamboni.
It's like a Zamboni. It really is. It's so badass. My wife has insisted, you got to put the goggles on. You got to put the goggles on. And I was like, I don't need goggles. And then sometimes, like, the chars would hit my eyes, like the grass particles and all that crap and bugs. So now I'm a big eyeglass guy. Hey, you ready to make some long-term predictions? This is my favorite one. This is our annual Giancarlo Stanton, when does he return prediction. Do you remember that from last year?
I do.
We went down with the hamstring. All right, so we have two games here.
Two games.
Game number one is the date for Giancarlo Stanton's return. The second game is who returns to the major leagues first, Frankie Montas or Giancarlo Stanton? Mm. All right, let's start things off with Tommy Lugauer. Tommy, first, when will Giancarlo Stanton return to the New York Yankees?
Okay, Stanton will be back, let me get this perfectly, yes, May 16th. It is a Friday night against...
May 16th?
It is Friday night against the Mets.
You think he's returning for the Subway Series?
He returns for the first edition this year of the Subway Series. May 16th, the return for Stanton.
And who will return first, Frankie Montas or Giancarlo Stanton?
Stanton will be back before Montas.
Good. All right. Mm. Sean Morash.
Friday, May 16th. It's a Friday versus the Mets. Giancarlo is going to want to come back to play the Mets and Juan Soto.
Are you seriously copying Tommy's answer?
Well, he copied my answer.
What do you mean? What? You had that first?
I didn't tell him that.
You told me you were going to go with Memorial Day.
I was trying to make you swerve.
You guys are playing games with each other to make sure you get the date you want?
Yeah, look, there's nothing I can do. I'm not going to take the... I believe that they will push to have him back for the Subway Series. I think it's going to be meaningful to the Yankees. Sure.
Mm. Wow.
Also, Stanton owns the Mets, so it would behoove them to have him.
No, the one thing I'm asking for is for Giancarlo not to face the Mets, because all that guy has done is just destroy them throughout his career.
And they're coming off a West Coast trip before them, so I could see him waiting for them at home there.
All right, and who's coming back first, Stanton or Frankie Montas?
Stanton.
Okay, so you guys are just copying each other completely.
Well, I think Stanton is definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance we see Santa Claus before we see Montas again.
You guys are being very kind of confident about the Stanton stuff. Mm. Like, he could be out till June. We don't know that.
He's not going to be out till June.
He's dealing with tennis elbow and he's big time pain.
Tennis elbow and he's a stud. You guys are over, thinking this.
And and when we see Montas again, newsflash, Evan, the month starts with a J. You pick. So that's it.
All right.
Yeah, I agree with that, by the way.
So that's June or July. Okay. All right, Tiki, what is the date?
It's easy. Stanton's coming back first. Okay. That's easy. Okay. I'm going to go Sunday, April 27th. The Blue Jays are coming to town.
All right. It's not too bad.
1:30 p.m. start on a Sunday? Yeah, it's a Sunday.
That might be Easter this year.
It might be. I have no idea what Easter holidays.
I think Easter's a week before. Trying to remember. I agree with you. I think the Stanton Montas question is maybe not as good as it sounded in my head. Because the reality is, it would be an all-time debacle. If Montas is back
first. They're saying 6 to 8 weeks. Stanton's got tendonitis.
Yeah.
Lat strain, 6 to 8 weeks versus tendonitis.
Yeah.
Which he could play through if he had to. I mean, hell, he's probably going to be back earlier than that.
All right. Let's see my guess. I'm going to actually be more confident than you. I'm going to say Giancarlo Stanton is returning on Monday, April 14th against the Kansas City Royals.
Wow.
So I think he'll miss the first few weeks of the year. He'll be on the IL, and he'll work his way back. And remember, it doesn't take much for him to return. He's not playing the field.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you. I can already tell you why you're going to be wrong.
Why?
There's the reason I'm picking mid-May. They are going to avoid cold weather with Giancarlo and those elbows, too. Okay. I'm telling you. That is where they're going to hold him. They don't want him anywhere near cold weather.
You think mid-April is too cold?
Tiki, I can't envision anything being above 60 degrees with what we're walking through before I see May at this point. This winter sucks.
We'll keep an eye on that. We'll see who's right. There are three things that are fun about spring training. Number one is fantasizing about the weather turning, which we've already done. Number two is dealing with the injuries that you knew are going to happen. And so you're talking about, all right, what do we do with this guy out or that guy out? Mets and Yankees are both dealing with that, as we've talked about. Giancarlo Stanton with the multiple tennis elbow and Frankie Montas with a lat strain out 6 to 8 weeks. And the third thing is hearing from guys. You know, guys we haven't heard from in a while. So earlier today, we heard from Pete Alonso for the first time since signing his new contract. If you missed any of it, you simply rewind on the Odyssey app. We aired all of it uninterrupted starting at about 2:05. So you go to the little chapter section of the Odyssey app, you go to our first chapter, boom, you get to hear Pete Alonso and our reaction to it. But the other guy who spoke for the first time today is the captain of the New York Yankees, Aaron Judge. Now, Sean, you've listened to what Aaron had to say.
Yeah.
So we throw it to you at the Aaron Judge news desk, as we are now about to hear from Aaron Judge.
Okay, so first and foremost, I think a lot of the Juan Soto stuff's going to get attention. So I have two clips I think are worth playing with Juan Soto, but I think we should start non-Juan Soto.
Okay, let's start non-Juan Soto.
Okay, because this is show-oriented. We had a big discussion last week about who's going to hit leadoff, where, you know, who's going to bat second, and we were under the assumption Aaron Judge is batting second or first. As it turns out, and you can hear the clip, Aaron Judge would like neither of those options.
Yeah, I'd love to hit third again. I've told him that since the first day, but I've always been about wherever you need me. If it's hitting third, hitting second, hitting last, you know, I'll be anywhere that helps shape this lineup the way we need to. So we'll see. We got a lot of different guys, a lot of good different options that can hit leadoff for us.
Wow. Yeah, we have all just assumed because he was hitting second for the couple of years prior to that, and then Juan Soto comes around, it's like, all right, well, everything's changed. Now you have a chance to have Juan Soto, who walks so much, gets on base so often, Aaron Judge protect him. This sounds amazing, but I never even thought about the idea that Aaron Judge may have fallen in love with batting third, and it sounds like he has. Yeah, I don't know if I love it. Now, Aaron Judge batted third in his rookie season, but that's 2017. That was a million years ago. And he also did it in 2021. And I was curious, all right, when he was batting third, who was mostly batting first and second? Just to kind of have a comparison. DJ LeMahieu was the leadoff hitter most of the time.
Oh.
And they had a cavalcade of guys batting second, but mostly it was Giancarlo Stanton, which is weird to think about. But and the other guy was Luke Voit. He was the other guy who batted second a lot. So completely different. Yeah. Yeah, and
well, then, at that time, Stanton was younger, their big prize money guy.
Did he move well then?
He was moving better than he does now.
I don't remember.
No, it wasn't, but it was at that time. It's just, you know, have to close your eyes and imagine, they wanted to get Stanton as many at-bats as possible.
And you know
and
you know who protected and Aaron Judge?
And Judge was young.
Yeah.
You know who protected Aaron Judge that year most of the time?
Who protected Judge?
Yeah, the guy batting
Gary Sanchez.
Gio Urshela.
Gio.
Wow, what a fella.
Yeah, oh, what a fine fella. That's interesting that Judge wants that, but you know, just because he wants it doesn't mean Boone's going to do it.
You know what that tells
me? It's not best for the team. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you, but you know what that tells me when we were making our lineup whole thing?
Yeah.
I don't discount the fact that Jason Dominguez on opening day could be hitting third or fourth if they were willing to do that with Judge in 2017.
Yeah, I got to look back. How early did they move Judge to that spot in the order? Because it may have been something that evolved a little bit over time. I'll look that up as you continue to play Judge close.
Okay, all right. Now to the juicy stuff. The meat and potatoes, as they like to say. Aaron Judge finally getting asked questions about Juan Soto. So the million-dollar question we all had. Aaron, did you bother to reach out to Juan Soto before he signed with the Mets? This is what he had to say.
Tried to. He got a different number, though, but, you know, so texts weren't going through. But we chit-chatted a little bit and caught up.
So he really did change his number.
Yeah, remember then there was that report right after that wasn't true. He didn't change his number. Judge is saying it's true. He changed his number. So I can't kill him if he tried to reach out. The guy switched his number.
I mean, he says he tried.
That's a bad job by Soto. I don't
Why is that a bad job by Soto?
Didn't Soto say he didn't change his number?
I thought a reporter said, I'd have to go back.
No, yeah, I remember.
Somebody said he did.
A reporter, it was either Heyman or Martino, one of them said, oh, Juan Soto changed his number.
Yeah, but I feel like somebody then disputed that and said he didn't actually change his number.
Well, I believe
that's what made Sean go off on Aaron Judge.
Yeah, you were anti-Aaron Judge for not doing enough to bring Juan Soto back.
I'm off it now. Right. I'm off it now. Now, last but not least, Aaron Judge was flat out asked about Juan Soto's comments about signing with the Mets and presenting a better opportunity to win a World Series. Remember that whole lightning rod idea? So did Judge take that personally? Let's hear what he had to say.
That's his opinion. He can say what he wants. I definitely disagree with him, but I wasn't too surprised by it. You know, I think that's where he wanted to be. I think that's where it was best for him and his family, and he got a pretty nice deal over there. So I think you can't say no to that, but I'm happy for him. You know, he got a good deal. He's going to be in a great spot. It's going to be great having him in town. We're going to be battling back and forth for quite a few years. So I'm definitely happy for him.
When he says he isn't surprised, what do you make of that?
Are you me or T?
Both of you.
My initial reaction tells me these guys were close. He clearly probably talked plenty with Juan Soto. And I think he probably knows what we as Yankee fans are blinded to, which was, it was far from a lock Soto was ever coming back, and he probably did talk to him about the Mets.
Right,
they probably had these conversations.
What did what do you think he was saying to Aaron Judge, though, about the Mets that would make Aaron Judge say, I'm not surprised? I have a theory on this, but I'm curious what you guys think.
I don't know. I think maybe he's just an opportunistic speaker. So he's gonna highlight or lift up wherever he's at. And so obviously he's going to say, yeah, the Mets give me the best chance to win. That's why I signed here.
Right.
And if he would sign with the Yankees, he'd have said, the Yankees give me the best chance to win. He's actually just, I don't know, giving you chalk. What else would you want him to say?
I'm guessing at some point last year, Juan Soto and Aaron Judge had, at the time, what might have seemed like an innocuous conversation where Soto pumped up what was going on with the Mets over there in their lineup and Cohen and Money.
I don't think that's it at all.
Really? All right, what do you think?
I think that Judge, and there's nothing wrong with this because some people may take it this way. I think Judge knew what I knew and what most of us knew from the very beginning about Juan Soto. He was going to go to the highest bidder. That's the way I looked at his free agency right. for a year and a half now. That he wasn't going to sign early. Remember when you were fantasizing about that, Sean? It was never a thing.
Yeah, okay.
Or he was going to be allured by pinstripes. No, I think he was going to go to the highest bidder. I think especially when you're a player who now bounces around the league, right? You're traded by the Nationals to the Padres. Now the Padres trade you to the Yankees. And now you've made it all the way to free agency. I think that Judge kind of knew he was going to the highest bidder. And he also knew his team wasn't going to be the highest bidder. I think he knew. I think he knew deep down, probably from talking to Hal, where they wanted him back, but there was going to be a moment where they said, enough's enough. And I think he probably knew what we've all surmised for years, that this was going to be the moment where Steve Cohen didn't walk away and didn't right. say enough's enough. So I didn't take it as he was whispering about the Mets in May. I took it as Judge kind of knew, like, wink, wink, he was going to the highest bidder. Yeah. And think about the last thing he said. He brought up, and he got a pretty good offer from them.
Yeah.
They paid him the most money.
Yeah, but when I think it comes back to that, I still stand by what I believe Juan Soto would have said. If he was on the Blue Jays, he would have said, yeah, the Blue Jays give me the best chance.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's why Soto's right. saying that, even right. if he believes it, which maybe he does with the Mets. I think that he was always going to be opportunistic in terms of the contract.
Oh, without a doubt. He's going to the highest bidder. We all knew that.
And the Mets did a great job of making sure they were the highest bidder.
I think there was something else in that quote. Mine went over your head, Evan.
Go ahead.
I think Aaron Judge told us about telling us he knows where baseball's going. We're getting Yankees, Mets in the same division soon, too. I mean, many wars across town, the whole thing. You're going to play a little more than six times a year if you make a comment like that.
I don't think he was saying that. I think he was just saying that he knows the way we are in New York. Like, in the middle of May or June, let's say both teams are playing well. You know, one of the biggest stories in New York could turn out to be, who's having a better year, Judge or Soto? Or Soto Judge? Like, it's going to be the Mickey Willie and the Duke of 2025. It's going to be the Mattingly versus Keith of 2025. It's going to be the Ray Ordonez versus Derek Jeter of 2025.
How about Conforto Judge? You want to keep going?
Yeah, that was fun. But that's what I think he kind of realizes. All right, so you feel better about what Judge had to say?
I feel better about Aaron Judge, the leader of the New York Yankees. I don't feel better about the 2025 New York Yankees lineup after what he had to say, but that's it.
I would not bat him third. And just for the record, in 2017, Aaron Judge on opening day, and he did this for the first four games of the season, batted eighth. For the next 4 days of the season, he batted seventh. Then, about 4 days later, he started batting sixth. In early May, he got moved up to the five hole where he stayed until early June. And then in early June, Aaron Judge became the third hitter in the lineup, which featured a 1-2 of Brett Gardner and Aaron Hicks. So Judge's evolution to becoming the third hitter in 2017 took 2 months. So it just reminds you that with young players, and in this case, Jason Dominguez, it usually takes a little bit of time before they jump up in the batting order. Yeah. Now, I think Dominguez is interesting. I mentioned him as a candidate for the leadoff spot because I think his skill sets could certainly work in that spot.
It's just a lot of pressure early in a very young career.
Yeah. I almost think they're going to do what they did with Judge and hit him 7-8 to begin. And if he gets off to a good start, then yeah, he's got that possibility of moving up in the order.
Right. In a sense, it's kind of what they did with Volpe as well, even though it took a year. He batted down in the lineup, and eventually they said, all right, let's try you leading off.
Right.
And for a minute, I think the importance of the moment, he rose to it, and then he kind of regressed to his mean, and it became an unviable situation. So they moved him back again. But, I mean, Jason Dominguez has had so much hype around him the pressure on him is already high. The last thing you want to do is make it even worse by putting him in a leadoff spot.
Yeah, I agree, and I would actually argue he has more pressure on him than Volpe had 2 years ago, because I think that they need Dominguez to not just be good, but be a force.
Yeah.
I think when you look at this lineup, and there are a lot of questions, you know, which Paul Goldschmidt is showing up, which Cody Bellinger is showing up, can Anthony Volpe make a jump? I think that they need Dominguez to at least be good. He can't just be, you know, oh, he's a rookie, he's doing all right. Like, they need him to be a forceful player. Obviously, no one's going to be 2017 Judge. That's one of the great rookie seasons in the history of baseball. But they're going to need Dominguez to be productive. But I don't like Judge hitting third. I'll tell you that right off the top. I'm glad he likes it, but you know what? He ain't the manager. Aaron Boone's the manager. And if I'm making the lineup, I'm not hitting Aaron Judge third. Just my opinion. Let's go to Steve in New Jersey. What's up, Steve? Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. Yeah, hey, guys. Listen, I just want to talk about, as far as the Yankee depth goes, I mean, they may not be the deepest team in the league, but I think, Evan, you're being a little unfair, because how many teams have a Mark Canha or even an Alex Verdugo just sitting on the bench to pop into the DH spot if somebody goes down? In a similar vein, like on the pitching, you say you're comfortable giving the Mets, you know, younger guys a start as a fifth starter if they have to fill in. Well, I'm okay with Will Warren or Chase Hampton or somebody, or a, you know, Beater coming in if they have to, versus Stroman, if I could save money on Stroman's deal.
Well, the saving the money on Stroman's deal, see, I was with you. You brought up a pretty good point. If you can use Marcus Stroman to give you more outfield depth or give you another bat, and your answer is, hey, by the way, I think Clayton Beter is now going to be a relief pitcher. I think I heard Aaron say that the other day, that they're moving him to the bullpen. But point well taken about Will Warren and JT Brubaker and the other options. Hey, I'm willing to give those guys a shot. That's totally fine. If you're willing to use Stroman as a piece to get you a bat, if it's simply to save Hal Steinbrenner money on the tax bill, no. Really? What does that do for you? That I don't accept. But if it's, hey, I can turn Marcus Stroman into a quality bat that can help this team, maybe it's the third baseman that currently doesn't exist on this roster, or another outfield / DH option, then sure, let's talk game. Like you mentioned with Starling Marte, I get that point. It's the other side of what Tommy said about, hey, you got to hold on to Stroman. I get it. If you can get better in another aspect, I understand it. But I'm not doing it just to save the owner a few dollars.
Do you think Stroman would accept the role of being the DH on the team? Put the bat back in his hands? Might need him.
Okay.
You didn't like that one.
Well, you didn't get any laughs.
I got it.
Can't just rely on me to give you a laugh.
If it was funny, I would laugh.
That's funny. That made me laugh. Let's go to Gary in East Meadow. What's up, Gary?
How you doing? So I have no problem trading Starling Marte, but I think if we're going to trade him for a starting pitcher, I think maybe the guy to get is Jordan Montgomery.
Oh, yeah. He's still out there. He's still out there coming off that terrible, terrible season, but I like Jordan Montgomery. I can see Jordan Montgomery having a big bounce back here. He got screwed up last year.
How old is he now?
I'd say like 32 years old, but let me double check. Why not? Yeah, I think his bad year last year, he is 32 years old. His bad year last year, I think, was really related to the fact that he got screwed up because of the free agency and the late start to the year. You look at the way he was pitching with Texas, St. Louis, and even the Yankees after the Tommy John, he was really coming into his own. I have no issue going after Jordan Montgomery. I'd be intrigued by him as well. I'm totally with him on that. Let's go to Charlie in Setauket. What's up, Charlie?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're good, man.
So I'm an orthopedic PA for 23 years, so I figured I'd weigh in on the tennis elbow subject. I've seen it many times. I agree with the other caller. It's probably a weightlifting issue. That's usually what I see it with among, you know, as well with tennis players and sports that require gripping type stuff like that. So I definitely think it's from that, you know, obviously with his history, but the injuries, it doesn't bode well. But I really think it's, everyone's making a bigger deal about it than it really is. You can play through that in general. You're not going to do any damage by playing through it. And Tiki, there's no arthritis issue. I remember you bringing it up earlier.
Right.
It doesn't have to do with the joint itself. The joint in general is separate. This is more of a tendon issue outside the joint, just from overuse.
Got it. So how do you how does it get better?
That's the thing. It's very frustrating. It takes many months, even if you rest it, to get better. So usually I tell my patients just to kind of push through. You're not doing any damage. Cortisone shots historically can give you relief, but varying relief, anywhere from weeks to months or longer.
Right.
But generally, it's not like
a magic shot. Right. PRP helps as well.
So basically, so you think it's a pain tolerance thing, Charlie?
It definitely is a pain tolerance thing. Like the other patient, that called up earlier was saying they couldn't grip a coffee cup. You know, I hear that often. So it can be really bad to the point where you can't grip. And obviously swinging a bat
could
be an issue.
Right, that becomes troublesome if you're Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah. You can't grip. Now, if he's talking about pain, like that it's that high, and he can't grip a bat right now, because he hasn't, what was it we heard? He hadn't swung a bat
in 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's probably, you know, the trainers, you know, just suggesting chill out for a little bit, get as much rest as you possibly can. But if you can't grip a bat, you better not be lifting weights either.
Well, that,
right? You better not be working out, at least not upper body working out.
That's the thing. You mentioned it. Our caller mentioned it. Giancarlo Stanton is an Adonis.
Mm-hmm.
He is in incredible, incredible shape. He's got muscles upon muscles. But does he really need to be lifting weights that much?
Well, if he can't grip a bat, again, we're speculating about that, but he hasn't gripped
a bat. No, he said he hasn't swung a bat in 3 weeks. Not that he can't grip a bat, but he hasn't done that, right?
Is he can or he can't?
Right.
He shouldn't be working out either.
Right.
I would say, at least not aggressively.
No, but I wonder if...
Because most of the things that you do, you know, whether it's a bench press or a pull, it's all grip. Like everything, you have to, it's grip. It's half the battle. And that puts a lot of strain on your forearms and on your... exactly the tendons that Charlie was just talking about.
I think if this injury was attached to most other players with the Yankees or the Mets, there would be a calmness of, all right, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's February 17th. Give it some time. We got a lot of time before opening
right.
day.
Nothing to worry about. He'll be fine.
But the fact it's attached to a player who has missed so much time, I laid this out earlier. He has had 7 seasons with the Yankees, and he's been injury riddled in basically 5 of them.
Right.
That's what his track record's been. Like, the resume of Giancarlo Stanton as a Yankee, I would define this way. His regular seasons, he's missed a boatload of time, and he's been a playoff Adonis. That's how I would say it about him.
Right.
Like, he just hasn't done enough in the regular season, but hey, come October, the guy's been fantastic. The problem is, as much as I look at the Yankees, despite the flaws we've talked about, as a team that's likely to make the postseason, you got to get there first.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't sit here arrogantly and say, don't worry, just put him on mothballs till August. He'll be fine. Just make sure he's ready for October. I know we joke about that in October, but you got to get to October.
Right.
Like, there's no guarantee just because we think it right now in the middle of February that the Yankees are going to make the postseason. I think they are. They're talented enough to, but a lot of crazy things happen along the way. So it can't just be, don't worry, just get him to October. He'll be fine.
He will be. Just got to get him there.
Well, he'll be fine. Will the Yankees be fine?
No, I don't know. Yeah, like, look, I think they... big picture, yes, I do think they'll be fine. And their team is still good enough to be a good team in the American League. Are they still the best team without Giancarlo Stanton? There's a hole. And now there's actually 2 holes. And so it makes you worry a little bit. But this is where you kind of start to just have faith with young guys stepping up and taking advantage of their opportunity.
You know what's great, though? And Sean and I were giggling like little schoolgirls earlier before the show, because while he dislikes the Boston Red Sox for obvious reasons.
Vile weed.
I don't like Boston. Not a big Boston guy. So when the Red Sox have their issues, I laugh too. I used to like the Red Sox when I was much younger, when they had the curse going on. Okay. I thought they were cute and adorable. But since then, they've been the Yankees. I know they've had some last place finishes, but they've won a lot. So earlier today, we saw that there's a little bit of an issue in Boston. You guys aware? There's a little bit of an issue in Boston.
It's a good thing.
Oh, wait, for Yankee fans, it's a great thing. For Red Sox fans, for Jared Carrabas, who I love, not a good thing. So if you remember, the Red Sox signed Alex Bregman as a free agent. Cool. Like, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I even said on the radio, hey, rivalry's back. The Red Sox have closed the gap with the Yankees. Like, that's a big league move by the Red Sox. All right. So the plan is Bregman's going to play a little second base, but the plan is also that he's going to play some third, and Devers could move over to first base or DH occasionally. Makes a lot of sense. Red Sox have a lot of flexibility. No issue so far.
Okay.
Rafael Devers showed up to spring training. And here's the thing about Rafi, also known as Gerrit Cole's dad. He ain't moving. Here's Rafael Devers being asked questions about him moving to DH or first base. And Yankee fans, you're going to laugh at this one.
So are you saying if they ask you to DH, you won't do it?
No.
And you
Lakers band on that?
I mean, like,
I played turf.
So, isn't it their decision, though? Like, isn't it the Red Sox decision, or is it a mutual thing, or?
¿Cómo fue?
Que si, en final, la
So, here's the thing. I'm always open to the, hey,
right,
you know
let me talk
what?
To my translator real quick.
That maybe he didn't understand the question. I want to be fair about that. Oh, no, no. He understood the question. He was pretty firm. No.
I play third.
I play third base. So Red Sox camp is off to a flying start. And wasn't Alex Cora, Sean, asked about this? Like, hey, what about Devers moving?
Yeah, and he said that was an agreement under Chaim Bloom, and he's now in St. Louis. So all agreements with the previous regime out. Don't
yeah,
matter.
So when the Red Sox re-signed Devers a couple years ago, Chaim Bloom must have said, oh, you're my third baseman forever.
Right.
Well, Chaim Bloom's not here anymore.
Unbelievable.
This is fantastic. Now, I don't know if this is going to derail the Red Sox season, but we're talking about, like,
why would Cora, like, come out and say it like that?
He's probably annoyed. I wasn't here when you made that agreement. I'm the manager of the
team. Still, he's still got to manage this guy. And now he's putting him on his you-know-what list.
Well, maybe that's his way of... Now, you could disagree as the player. Maybe that's his way of, this is my way or the highway here, Rafi, and I got to establish this now.
It's a little different than the way Aaron Boone handled the Gleyber Torres thing. I mean, we heard that Gleyber Torres refused or didn't want to move to third base last year. Obviously, he's not on the team anymore. I'm sure that played a role in it. But what did Aaron Boone do? He acquiesced and said, I'm not going to move you. And I understand why he did that. It's the middle of the season. You say it's a great move.
I thought it worked out. Gleyber hit the rest of the year.
Fine. Alex Cora's taking the exact opposite approach.
By the way, good.
He's taunting Devers.
Good. Alex Cora's been the golden child by everybody up in Boston. I hope he botches this whole thing. I hope they screw up their franchise guy.
Oh, hold on. I get you want him to botch it, but do you agree with the way he's handling it then?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think he's missing. He's being too aggressive. He doesn't need to be that aggressive.
What should he say? I'm sorry, Rafi, we hurt your feelings. No, what do you want to do?
It's a discussion we're going to have.
Right. It's a complicated issue. We're going to handle it internally. Boom. Yes. Done.
I kind of get Cora because Rafael Devers is making millions upon millions of dollars. His contract doesn't say third base. Mm. His contract says Major League Baseball
player.
But he
wants to be a third baseman. For whatever. I mean, it's just like, if I guess it's different with Pete because Pete doesn't have the contract to rely upon.
Well, if the Mets said to Pete, you're our DH now?
Yeah.
I'd say the same thing. Like, it's one thing if I disagree with it and I say, hey, I disagree with the Mets' decision-making to move him to DH,
mm-hmm.
but he works for the Mets. Devers works for the Red Sox. It's not like they're saying you're not playing or we're benching you. He's saying we're moving you to a different position.
The Red Sox are crumbling. That is kind of funny.
We all have to admit that.
Yankees need a third baseman. You want to get rid of him?
Do it right. Do they want Stroman?
You're funny. A Red Sox-Yankee trade. You think Met-Yankee trades are unrealistic? Wait for that one.
Vile.
Your phone calls at 888-808-1019. And one other interesting thing that's made the rounds over the last few days, and I know Met fans are very passionate about, is that the fact that Francisco Lindor should be named captain of the team. We'll discuss it coming up. Plus, we now know that Thursday night in Boston, it's USA-Canada in the Four Nations Finals. Are we pumped for it? We'll get into it coming up. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.